Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to master one of the most important skills in the entire exam, literal and inferential comprehension. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, OCR, or any other board, this skill underpins everything you do in Paper 1. So settle in, grab a pen, and let's get started. First, let me tell you why this matters. Examiners consistently report that the most common reason candidates lose marks is not because they don't know the text, it's because they don't know how to read it at the right depth. They skim the surface, they tell the examiner what happened, but the examiner already knows what happened. What they want to know is what it means and why the writer made those choices. That's the difference between a grade 4 and a grade 7 right there. So let's break this down. What exactly is literal comprehension? Literal comprehension is your understanding of what is explicitly stated in the text. It's the surface level, the facts, the events, the descriptions. If the text says she slammed the door, the literal comprehension is simply that she slammed the door. That's a fact. It's stated. You don't need to read between any lines to find it. Now, literal comprehension is not worthless. Don't misunderstand me. You need it as your foundation. You need to know what happened, who the characters are, what the setting looks like, what the sequence of events is. Without that, you can't do anything else. But here's the key. Literal comprehension alone will only ever get you to the lower levels of the mark scheme. Examiners call this a narrative response. You're retelling the story rather than analyzing it. And that is one of the most common mistakes in the exam. So how do we move beyond the literal? This is where inferential comprehension comes in, and this is where the real marks are. Inferential comprehension means reading between the lines. It means asking yourself, what is the writer implying here? What does this suggest about the character's feelings, motivations, or state of mind? What does this tell us about the relationship between two characters? What atmosphere is being created, and why? Let me give you a concrete example. Imagine a passage where a character is described as sitting very still, her hands folded neatly in her lap, her eyes fixed on a point somewhere beyond the window. Now, the literal comprehension is, she is sitting still, her hands are folded, she's looking out of the window. Fine, but the inferential comprehension is so much richer. The word neatly suggests control, perhaps forced composure. The phrase, a point somewhere beyond, implies she is mentally absent, she's physically present, but emotionally elsewhere. We might infer she is anxious or grieving or deliberately distancing herself from the situation. The writer has chosen these precise details to suggest an interior emotional state without ever stating it directly. That is inference, and that is what earns marks. Now let's talk about motivation, because this is a specific type of inferential comprehension that examiners test directly. Character motivation means, why does a character do what they do? What drives them? What are they afraid of? What do they want? These answers are almost never stated outright in a literary text. You have to infer them from actions, dialogue, body language, and the reactions of other characters. Think about a character who is excessively generous with money. On a literal level, they give money away. But inferentially, we might ask, are they trying to buy affection? Are they compensating for guilt? Are they performing generosity for social status? The answer depends on the context. And your job is to use the evidence in the text to build a convincing argument. Here's a phrase I want you to remember. The text says, but this suggests, that little two-part structure is your engine for moving from literal to inferential. The text says, she sat very still, but this suggests she's suppressing powerful emotion. The text says he laughed, but this suggests he's using humor to deflect from pain. Every time you write that structure, you are demonstrating inferential comprehension and you are earning marks. Now let's talk about sequence of events, because this is another area where candidates often lose marks. Examiners don't just want you to list what happens, they want you to explain how events are connected and why the order matters. Why does the writer choose to reveal this information at this particular moment? What effect does it have on the reader to learn this now rather than earlier or later? How does one event cause or influence the next? For example, If a writer places a moment of apparent happiness immediately before a catastrophe, that sequence creates dramatic irony and pathos. The reader feels the contrast. The juxtaposition of joy and tragedy amplifies the emotional impact. That is a structural choice, and it is worth analyzing. Let's move on to exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number one, retelling the plot. I cannot say this enough. The examiner has read the text. They do not need you to summarize it. Every sentence you spend retelling events is a sentence you're not spending on analysis. Ask yourself after every sentence you write, am I analyzing or am I narrating? If you're narrating, stop and redirect. Mistake number two, vague inference. Some candidates do attempt inference, but they make it too general. This suggests the character is sad is not enough. You need to be specific. What kind of sadness? How intense? How is it being concealed or expressed? What does it tell us about this character's particular situation? The more precisely you can articulate the inference, the more marks you earn. Mistake number three, ignoring the writer. Remember, in English literature, nothing happens by accident. Every word choice, every structural decision, every moment of dialogue was chosen by the writer. So instead of saying the character feels lonely, say the writer presents the character as isolated through the use of. This keeps your analysis focused on craft and method, which is what assessment objective two is all about. Mistake number four, not using textual evidence. Every inference you make must be anchored to the text. You must quote and ideally embed your quotation within your sentence rather than dropping it in as a separate block. Examiners award marks for judicious use of textual references, which means well-chosen, precisely integrated quotations that directly support your point. Now, a word about command words, because these tell you exactly what the examiner wants. If the question says, explain, you are being asked for literal and inferential comprehension, what happens and what it means. If it says, analyze, you are being asked to go deeper into the writer's methods. If it says, explore, you are being invited to consider multiple interpretations. And if it says evaluate, you need to make a judgment. How effectively does the writer achieve their purpose? Always read the command word first and let it guide the depth and focus of your response. Right, it's time for our quick fire recall quiz. I'm going to ask you five questions. Pause the podcast after each one if you want thinking time. Question one, what is the difference between literal and inferential comprehension? Think about it. Literal comprehension is understanding what is explicitly stated. Inferential comprehension is reading between the lines to understand what is implied. Question two, complete this sentence. The text says, but this suggests. What is the purpose of this structure? It moves your analysis from surface level observation to deeper inference, earning higher marks. Question three, what is character motivation and why is it important in inferential comprehension? Motivation is the reason behind a character's actions. It is usually implied rather than stated, so identifying it demonstrates inferential skill. Question four, name three common mistakes candidates make in comprehension questions. Retelling the plot, making vague inferences, and failing to embed textual evidence. Question five, what does the command word explore ask you to do? It asks you to consider multiple interpretations and analyze the text from different angles, balancing breadth with depth. How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant, you're already thinking like an examiner. If you struggle with any of them, go back and reread that section of the guide. Let me leave you with a summary of the key things to take away from today. Number one, literal comprehension is your foundation, but it is not enough on its own. You must always push deeper. Number two, inferential comprehension is about reading between the lines, understanding what is implied about character, motivation, atmosphere, and theme. Number three, use the structure the text says, but this suggests to move from surface to depth in every paragraph. Number four, always anchor your inferences to specific textual evidence, embedded fluently within your sentences. Number five, think about sequence. Why does the writer place events in this order? And what effect does that create? And number six, remember the writer. Every choice is deliberate, Your job is to explain why those choices were made and what effect they have on the reader. You've got this. Comprehension is a skill, and like any skill, it improves with practice. Read widely, question everything, and always ask yourself, what is the writer really trying to tell me here? Good luck in your exams. I'll see you in the next episode.